Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Numbers, chapter 35. Okay, Numbers 35, the cities for the Levites. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levites from the inheritance of their possession, cities to live in, and you shall give to the Levites pasture lands around the cities. The cities shall be theirs to live in, and their pasture lands shall be for their cattle and for their herds and for all their beasts. And the pasture lands of the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits around. You shall also measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, on the west side 2,000 cubits, on the north side 2,000 cubits, with the city in the center. This shall become theirs as pasture lands for the cities. And the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be the 6 cities of refuge, which you shall give for the manslayer to flee to. In addition to them, you shall give 42 cities. All the cities which you'll give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, together with their pasture lands. As for the cities which you shall give from the possession of the sons of Israel, you shall take more from the larger, and you shall take less from the smaller. Each shall give some of his cities to the Levites in proportion to his possession which he inherits. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select for yourselves cities to be your cities of refuge, that the manslayer who has killed any person unintentionally may flee there. And the city shall be to you as a refuge from the avenger, so that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation for trial. And the cities which you are to give shall be your cities of refuge. You shall give 3 cities across the Jordan, 3 cities in the land of Canaan. They are to be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be for refuge for the sons of Israel and for the alien and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person unintentionally may flee there. But if he struck him down with an iron object that he struck, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he struck him down with a stone in the hand by which he may die, and as a result he died, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he struck him with a wooden object in the hand, but by which he may die, and as a result he died, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. The blood avenger himself shall put the murderer to death. He shall put him to death when he meets him. And if he pushed him of hatred, or threw something at him lying in wait, and as a result he died, or if he struck him down with his hand in enmity, and as a result he died, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer, the blood avenger shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. But if he pushed him suddenly without enmity, or threw something at him without lying in wait, or with any deadly object of stone, and without seeing it dropped on him, so that he died while he was not his enemy, nor seeking his injury, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the blood avenger according to these ordinances. And the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the blood avenger, and the congregation shall restore him to his city of refuge to which he fled, and he shall live in it until the death of the high priest who is anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer shall at any time go beyond the border of his city of refuge to which he may flee, and the blood avenger finds him outside the border of his city of refuge, and the blood avenger kills a manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer shall return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be for a statutory ordinance to you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death at the evidence of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Moreover, you shall not take ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And you shall not take ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to live in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. And you shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell. For I, the Lord, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel. Amen. Man, this is chock full of stuff and a lot of lessons. First, you'll notice that God sets aside some cities for the Levites. Now, this is really simple, really easy to understand, okay? But I think we get it now, but we get some principles of how we should operate as a body in this regard. In other words, there are priests, maybe in our modern day we call them pastors. leaders in the church that are not able to make an income in the marketplace like all the other Jews were in this regard, able to make an income through their work. And so as ministers, we'll use kind of like try to use this as an idea. They're not allowed to do that. And so what they do is the Israelites, they give a portion of their inheritance. And so these, now we're talking about cities. So they give a portion, and according to, if they're huge, if they have big cities or a lot of them, they give more. If they have little, they give less. And so this is not talking about finite numbers. They're talking about proportion, okay? And what they do is they take from what they've received from God, and they give to the priests. And this is pretty much a common structure in the church today. People, you guys, make money in the marketplace. You give a portion of that money, and it provides for the ones that are not able to go to the marketplace. In other words, they're occupied with doing priestly duties, which is the pastors. And so, you know, it's like, duh, it makes total sense in this regard. And so what you're seeing take place centuries before are actually still the current model that's taking place now, that's in this place. Now, God introduces something, and this is twofold of a response. One is this idea of city of refuge. So there's going to be these cities, six of them, out of the 48 cities. So 48 cities are going to be given to the priests. Out of that, six of them, three on Canaan and three on the other side of the Jordan. And even the location will make sense in a moment. The Israelites are living under an ancient criminal justice system called Goelism. And Goel is the term for avenger. And so under Goelism, what happens is if, let's say, anyone kills my brother, or kills any of my, it don't have to be brother, kills any of my relatives, I have a legal right to slay you on the spot. No questions asked, no trial, no jury, no nothing. If I know that, let's say Andrew killed one of my relatives, the next time I kill Andrew, what happens? I've taken a vow. The next time I see Andrew, I must kill him. If I don't kill him, I have dishonored my whole family. And so this is actually still today prominent among Arabs. They still practice Goelism to this day. And so it's in fact, if you take it, a lot of Islam actually hinges on that. In other words, Andrew's my relative, and he turns away from Islam, I gotta kill him. I mean, that's the Quran. I gotta kill him to save his life. And so you see the manifestation of this ancient system that's at work. And the Lord, because he's all about justice and he's about mercy, he says, okay, no, we're gonna enact a different kind of system. I mean, in one side, he's like, I understand the ancients and what's going on, but we're going to set these six cities of refuge. And three, because, you know, it would be expedient for the one, can you imagine the relatives are trying to kill this guy, to cross the Jordan. And so he says, okay, there should be maybe some in the other land, three there and three here. And when you enter this land, you are saved. In other words, no one can take blood vengeance on you without a trial. It's really quite clever how this works. But let's throw it on a spiritual angle already, okay? Think about this. There is a city of refuge. In other words, there's a place that you can go to, and you are guilty of sin. In other words, you've done something. You're but you can go to this place of refuge, and no one can harm you. And you are covered in a sense. And so the scholars, they call this the city of refuge, they call it a type of Christ. That's precisely what Christ does for us. We did something wrong. It could have even been accidental. It doesn't matter, okay? We can say sins of commission, sins of omission, you know, all kinds of stuff. We did something wrong, but we can go find shelter. We can find refuge. Now, obviously, in Christ, it's not a location. It's just in Him. You know, we're under the shelter of the Most High. We're covered in Christ. And so he is, to all of us, as followers of Christ, He is the city of refuge. The blood avenger, the devil, has a right to our lives because of our wrongs. Which, you know, it kind of sounds weird, right? Because we did something wrong, he has a right. And so it's not just a play on words, it's the fact. And he has a right to our lives. He has a right to avenge, because for the wage of sin is death. But Christ comes on the scene, and He is our refuge. We can hide in His holiness. We can hide in the shelter of the Most High. We are protected, but as long as we remain in Christ. The moment we get outside of Christ, guess what? Fair game. You know, you like how, you know, Moses says this, yeah, you know, he should have stayed in the city of refuge. Or he just says, you went out, you died. Well, it's kind of like tough, man. You should have stayed in the city of refuge. Right? You knew once you venture out, it's right? I mean, you're given over. And so just stay in the city of refuge. It's that, you know, idea for us. So this is not a salvific kind of a hermeneutic. What I'm saying is, you know, you want to be safe, you want to be protected and secure, stay in Christ. The moment you get outside of Him, in other words, because of your continual unrepentant sin, your rebellion, and you move away, the enemy, fair game to do his work. You guys understand? So there's that part, you know, very easy spiritual part that we, as we understand all these things. But it's also going back to the other part, just reading the text. So you do, and so God lays out those very strict rules. So if you use any kind of iron, which means weapons, okay, they would consider that to be premeditated in a certain fashion. And so, yeah, guilty man. You lie in wait. In other words, you know this guy's going to come down this road, and you wait for him, and you cause harm. Yeah, that's premeditated. So you're planning to avenge. Nope. Right, it's blood for blood, and there's some other ones out here, any deadly object of stone or whatever it may be, yeah, it doesn't work that way, and so it's blood for blood. And think about that idea. This ancient idea is really something that flows from the Lord. Right, because it's blood for blood. In other words, you commit a sin. The only thing, right? The only thing that will protect you is blood, and you can see this actually all through the scriptures. I'll give you an example. Abraham, Genesis 22, and Abraham, he is told to sacrifice his son. He's just about to do it. The angel stops him. But what is shed instead? The blood of a lamb. Blood for blood. Luke, the prodigal son. So the son comes back. Everything's hunky-dory. But what is shed? The blood of the calf. It's always, You can see all through, it's always blood for blood. Blood is always spilt in the prodigal son's case for celebration. He was lost and he's found, but still, woven into the story, there is still a sacrifice of blood. This is gospel. In that same way, that's why Jesus' blood also needed to be spilled. It's blood for blood. Right, this I mean goes back all the way to the ancients, you know, to really the beginning of time itself, and only blood. And you can see the fullness of that. Look at verse 33. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed out, except by the blood of him who shed it. You shall not defile the land in which you live, live in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel. Remember when Cain killed Abel? Remember what the Lord said? It said his blood cries out from the ground. That there's always been a relationship with blood. We can call it injustice or something to that effect, and also land. It's quite amazing how you make these kind of connections that way. Let me give you a real world example of that, and give you an idea. If you look at the Native Americans, United States, very very much wronged by the white peoples. Okay, and so I don't know, that's probably not the best way to say that, but sorry, Mary. But by the Americans that came. So, broke a lot of treaties. You understand all these things that are happening here, right? Well, you know, it's interesting enough. What happens is, I'll give you one example. General Sherman, during the Civil War, he was a northern guy, and he went on a march. It's called Sherman's March. You can look it up in your history books. And he, unfortunately, did horrible things on this march. Him and his troops, they went and they raped women, southern women. They ransacked plantations. They stole, just horrific things. It's known as Sherman's March. It's really interesting when you look at that march and you see exactly the trail by which these guys went through. They basically went through ancient Indian burial grounds. It's just uncanny. These grounds basically turn into these plantations and the other things. And Sherman was just led to go through the exact route of this thing's happened. I mean, we know he was led by the devil to do horrible, horrible things. Even these places, even today, are the poorest places in the South. I mean, economically, crime, I mean, they're just like decrepit places. Why? Because the blood cries out from the ground. I'll give you another example. In Africa, there were certain centers where the slave trade, what was happening, Sierra Leone, Cote d'Ivoire, a lot of these different ports. Even today, you go back to these places where the slave trade was running optimally. These places are literally cursed. And in these places, they're the poorest. Nothing grows there. I mean, it's just really horrible. Why? Because the blood cries out from the ground. There's also a line of thought that says, I don't know if you guys maybe not been around, but you guys remember the Bermuda Triangle? Remember hearing about the Bermuda Triangle? You notice you don't hear about that anymore. And so all these freaky things happened in this triangle. And what happened was these intercessors, God began to speak to them about the triangle. And as they started doing some history, they believed that the place was cursed. You know why they were cursed? This is actually the trade route where the slaves went through from the old land into the new land. And if you ever seen that movie Amistad, actually shows a really powerful picture of that. You know, Matthew McConaughey, a really old movie. But it's on these boat journeys as they were going to these places, other ports where they're selling the slaves, that old slaves, ones that couldn't make the journey, they actually chained them up and just threw them into the water. It was really sad. And so only the ones that made it were the really strong, that could, you know, that can make of this very long journey. And so literally the ocean, the triangle, cries out with blood. And so all kinds of freaky things were happening during that place. Why? Because the place was demonized. And so people came and they went to these places and did repentance and basically lifted the curse off. And that's primarily, you know, the reason why I know about Sherman's March is one of my good friends in seminary, he was a Southern guy, and that's what he did for one of his projects. He traced the march and he traced all these things. So one summer he led a whole bunch of people. One of them was a descendant of General Sherman. And they went and did identification repentance and repented, you know, all along and, you know, and did all these things. It's quite amazing, you know, how this worked. But there is this connection between land and sin. Because, you know, scripturally, Romans tells us the land also is redeemed. Right, it says that, you know, even all creation moans and groans for the appearing of the sons of God, and so we see that there is this connection. And remember, heaven is not just our salvation. What happens in the new heavens and the new earth, and so even the land also is redeemed. They're in line for redemption as well. In fact, all creation is. So it's not just us human beings. Even the land gets redeemed. And so, you know, I probably talk too much about that. But there's something really fascinating and interesting about how this works. And so, you know, I don't want to lose the point, you know, since I went off on this tangent. I don't want to lose the point that there are these cities of refuge. God is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy, and he will enact mercy. What was happening, the ancient system worked, right? But in any system could be abused. And so it became vengeance became a huge aspect. And now even in some sectors, even slight injustices that were done to people, it was paid for by death. And so people were way abusing, you know, it became a course of retribution than justice more than anything else. And so God is really laying this out because it's a new people going to a new land. They need a new system in that regard. All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's go back to what I talked about way back in the beginning, the city of refuge. Are you in Christ? I mean, I know you're saved. That's not what I'm talking about here. But are you abiding in him? Remember John 15, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. All right, ask whatever you wish and be granted to you. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you abiding in him? Are you in Christ? He saved you from the avenger, the accuser of the brethren. We have this city of refuge in Christ. As we worship, I encourage you to run to that refuge.
Restoration. You bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You've taken my pain and you call me by a new name. You've taken my shame in its place. You give me joy. You've taken my pain and you call me by a new name. You've taken my shame in its place. You bring me joy. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my weeping and turn it into laughing. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my sadness and turn it into joy. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my weeping and turn it into laughing. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my sadness and turn it into joy. You bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my weeping and turn it into laughing. You take my mourning and turn it into dancing. You take my sadness and turn it into joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You make all things new. Call me by a new name. You've taken my shame, and in its place, you give me joy. You give me joy.
Let's pray this morning, huh? Let's thank the Lord for the refuge and the rest that He gives to us. Let's pray and thank Him that He is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy. He is gracious and kind. And let's pray that each of us, that we would remain in Him, that we would not venture outside of this city of refuge, and that we will rest in Him. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling cancer, and let's pray for God's healing and His encouragement in their lives. Let's pray for our community that is sick but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that is dealing with non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for the church, and obviously the whole country is mourning the death of Lee Kuan Yew. He's really the father of the country, and so let's just pray that God would let's comfort all those that mourn, right? And that there would be a lot of hope for the future, and that hope it can only rest in Christ. And so let's pray that Jesus is glorified in Singapore. Let's lift up the church and all the leaders and the lay preachers and all the stuff that they got going on there. Let's just cover Singapore. And let's pray for Indonesia. Pray for SP Indonesia, the ministry. Pray for Kupang. Pray for Pastor Selamat and his family. And particularly his son needs to do well in his classes for his university. And so let's pray for him, and pray for the trip that's happening this summer. Let's just lift up Singapore and Indonesia before the Lord. Let's pray over our missions committee. Pray for Ricky and Tim, Janella, John, Jamie, James, and myself. And let's pray that our community would work hard, would be given a lot of wisdom from the Lord to lead our church in our mission endeavors. Let's pray. Let's pray for our local outreach, the Community Center, Agape, Homeless Ministry, SP Lives, Freedom, and Bridge. Let's pray that there would be more volunteers, that more of our church would be involved. And let's pray for the leaders, that they would not grow weary, they would just continue to do good and see fruit of their labor. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our evening activities tonight. Let's pray for SPU, EG. We actually have our retreat tonight, this weekend, if you pray for us. Pray for GIC and the IP. Let's ask God's favor upon each of the groups and the classes, and especially over the retreat, that each of them would really experience God over this weekend. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house church tonight. Pray for McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to just really lead and guide. The Ken and Lishan are in EG, so there's other people that are leading DB House Church tonight. Let's pray for just leadership to come upon them and really lead well with the absence of the house church leaders. Let's continue to cover the retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Benjamin. Let's pray for all the logistics. Pray a real presence of God that people would really experience the Lord and His love and His power throughout that time. Pray for a real spirit of unity. Just cover all the flights for the people coming in from Singapore, Beijing. Let's pray for God's grace over us throughout this whole time. Let's lift up. Let's pray this morning for, oh, it's SP. Yeah. All right. You guys know what to pray for. Let's pray for God's favor. All right. Oh, I don't even remember writing this. Let's pray that we would just love Jesus more and more. Let's just lift up our church. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you. God, thank you this morning. Thank you that you are our refuge, God, that you cover us, that you shield us, God, that we are saved from the avenger, Lord, the accuser of the brethren. God, and help us to remain in you, God, that we would abide in you, Lord. God, I pray for just increased intimacy in our life, God, and Lord, first and foremost, God, that our love relationship with you, God, grows and grows and grows. Oh, we just thank you for that, God. Lord, just watch over us today, this weekend. Lord, just particularly lift up the EG candidates, Lord, that are going out to the retreat, 13 of them. We pray that they would really experience you this weekend, God, as they give themselves to you. Thank you. Watch over us, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and We'll see you on Sunday.